Hi everyone, thank you very much for joining our Proctor podcast today, which is being filmed up in lovely Blairgowrie in Scotland from our very own Proctor pod. Today we're going to be talking about the changes in the weather and the effect that has on the longevity of breathable membranes. I'm here with two fellow Proctor staff. We have Will Jones, Head of Business Development.
Hi, Ciara.
And Sue Menmuir, who is our Technical Advisor.
Hi.
And Sue, you've been with us for a long time.
Quite a while. 31 years.
31 years. So Sue knows her stuff and Will, again, very well informed for...
Just under 4 years.
Just under 4 years. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I thought where we'd start, Sue, potentially with you, if that's okay, is just a really kind of brief overview to what are breathable membranes?
Okay. So in essence, simplistically, a breather membrane will allow vapour to pass through it from inside to outside. They can be on walls even, or roofs. And then they, you know, they're known as LR underlays, but the basic principle is that vapour that's generated from within the building is allowed to escape outwards, reducing the risk of condensation.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And in terms of the material compositions, are there all different types of materials that are used in breathable membranes?
Yeah, there's a variety. Our membranes are generally polypropylene based. Polyethylene is also used. ProBreathe is glass fibre. So there's a variety of different membranes, different materials that are used in membranes.
Okay. So different ways that we can use different materials to accomplish essentially the
exactly.
same thing. Okay. And what we're going to be hopefully talking about today is a little bit how the environmental factors, so the changing weather, is affecting some of these membranes when they're in situ. So I don't know, Will, if you have any comments on that topic.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, especially with the changes that we've witnessed in weather patterns over recent years. We're sort of experiencing more wet weather in general, heavier storms, more intense storms, which is leading to probably a higher risk that a membrane could fail, if I can use that word, which basically what I mean by that is moisture is being allowed to pass through that membrane. And it's also interesting to try and evaluate and understand why and how that's happening. Is that due to installation? Is that due to how long that membrane has been left exposed for? Obviously, how intense that maybe that rain shower is or the strength of the winds. So there's a lot to kind of try and pick apart when it comes to why a membrane might fail to do its job.
I mean, how do the regulations impact upon, I mean, what's expected now, right, with the current regulations we have here in the UK?
I'm like, we typically advise maximum of 3 months exposure. But that is more to do with UV exposure rather than weather protection. There is always the danger or the opportunity for these membranes to allow water ingress because they're not classed as waterproof. They are water resistant and they are designed to be used as your secondary layer of protection. The primary layer obviously coming from your slates or tiles or your outer covering. So you do sometimes, you know, like people will say, oh, but you can leave it exposed for up to 4 months, but we've had water ingress. And it's like, you can leave it exposed, but it's at that point that UV will potentially like break down the membrane and affect other properties, not just the water holdout.
So what would your advice be to someone who has a project where, you know, there is going to be inclement weather and it has been exposed for a number of months?
Use temporary protection, especially if it's a project, for example, where it's a refurbishment, where you maybe still have internal linings in place or even property within the building. It's not so critical if it's a new build, for example, but for refurbishment, best practice would be to use temporary protection.
So we're talking a tarp or
pull something, yeah, over, something it. Over it just to keep most of the rain out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think membranes are probably one of their downfalls, probably been their success and how well they've done their job, especially in the last 30 years. They have been left exposed for longer periods. It's kind of been accepted that it's been okay. Mm-hmm. They haven't let water in. We've seen a recent rise in potential issues on site where moisture has been sort of let in through the membrane, and it's understanding why that's happening. You mentioned UV, it's quite an important factor because obviously that can degrade the membrane over time. If it's left in a very, very warm climate where the sun's been beating down for 12 hours a day, you'd expect to see over a long period of time, maybe 12 months, that the membrane could be at serious risk of degrading and they're not able to perform as its job. When we look at weather affecting the membrane, that can happen overnight. You know, you could leave it exposed for 3 or 4 months through the summer periods, and you're never going to have an issue. So you think, well, I've not had a problem here. This has been great. We've had a few showers, but they've not sort of, we've not seen any issues, I guess, with the membrane being left exposed. You then try and do that through a winter period or through a period where we have quite an intense storm, and that could happen within a week. So that's why it can be really, really difficult. If it's just generally accepted that a membrane can be left exposed, I think you have to use a little bit of common sense as to what you expect over the weather over the coming weeks, months.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, we have done our own long-term exposure testing just out in the field here, where we've had membranes out for up to longer than a year, actually. And every 3 months we have tested the properties. And what you tend to find is the permeability of the membranes don't really tend to be affected so much, or the airtightness of the material, but the water holdout is what does get affected the longer it's been exposed.
So when you're talking about water holdout, Sue, can you explain, I mean, what industry testing standards are in place at the moment for manufacturers like us that we have to meet? And what do you think about the suitability of these tests that are in place?
So the main one that we do for complying with the 13859 standard is water penetration, which is W1, W2. For roofs, your membrane has to meet the W1 test, which in essence is a 200 mil column of water sitting above the membrane for 2 hours. If it doesn't leak, it's passed the test. So it's quite simplistic test, really.
Seems very black and white.
Yes, it's either, you know, like, sort of like you get water through, it's a fail. If it doesn't, it's a pass. But a lot of membranes will pass that test, but not necessarily have the same hydrostatic head, for example. So we also do hydrostatic head testing on our membranes. And our aim is to be over a meter in hydrostatic head. And that's probably a more realistic test, I suppose, compared to the W1. But obviously in combination with the two, you're getting, you know, it's like a good idea as to how that membrane performs.
Yeah, you're getting the reassurance that, the characteristics are doing what they say they will.
So you only have to do that test once, Sue, to get that W1 rating. You just do the test on, you've made the material, you send it for testing, and then you come back with the result of W1, but you've not had to sort of go and leave it exposed for 3 months and then come back and test it, and then
No, it's just as received, so your membrane as received.
And that's kind of important, isn't it, really? Because if maybe the test standard was more stringent and you did have to age that membrane and then test it, that would probably give a more realistic...
Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen that with the testing that we've done. Like, you get to 6 months, 9 months, and the W1 drops to a W2, which is still fine for a walling application, but not for a roofing application. Mm. So again, it'll depend on what type of membrane you're actually you're using and where it is in the construction.
Yeah, and we have seen projects where membranes have been left exposed well in excess of 12 months, sometimes pushing 2 years. And they have been fine to a point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like,
it's a risk.
We've had some of our Raptite exposed for over a year, certainly. And the main properties of the material was actually fine. The W1 rating, though, did drop to a W2, but because it's used in a walling application, it still meets that standard.
Mm-hmm. There's a project that I, when I'm driving to the office, I pass every day, and I think it's been one of it's a Procter membrane. I think it's been on the roof for at least 4 or 5 years, exposed, literally. And I think if I knew where the entrance to that house was, I'd try and find them and say, look, please put some tiles on that, because I'm just always like, you guys might have seen it. It's just, yeah.
So that's just the roof finish. Yeah.
Yeah, it's only a very small part of a roof, and I can see it. I go, well, so anyway, I hope they haven't had any problems. I'm sure we'd hear if we did.
But again, you're probably down to a bit of luck of exposure. How protected that potential membrane is in that location from wind-driven rain,
right,
or from, you could probably get away with that in the right circumstance.
Yeah, and it's a decent pitch. It's a decent pitch of roof as well, so we know the water's going to be running off it
quickly.
And that's quite a good point. I mean, does the pitch of the roof come into this testing at all?
Doesn't come into the test at all. In reality, it will do, as you say. I mean, like, the steeper the pitch, the quicker the water runoff. So a shallower pitch, you will have more risk of water sitting on the membrane, and it's a more onerous situation. But the actual test itself is, it's the same test whether it's a wall or a roof.
Okay. And just thinking about best practices, is there any best practices when these membranes are being installed that should be adopted to try and minimise the risk of any concerns during or after? I mean, presumably get your tiles on as quick as you can, generally, for any project would be...
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely, obviously, leave it exposed as the least amount of time as you possibly can. With Procter Air, for example, it's an air permeable membrane, so you don't tape the joints. Taping the joints could potentially reduce the risk of wind-driven rain coming up in between the overlaps. What you maybe see is water coming through the membrane is not actually through the membrane itself, but it's been driven through the overlaps. But again, that is not required in actual practice. It's possibly just something that could be useful if you're leaving it exposed during winter months or when you know a storm's coming.
Yeah, I've certainly seen that in application where moisture has or rain has been driven up membrane and it's coming in via that lap. So taping could be an option. Obviously, it's not easy to do that on a pitch roof, membrane to membrane, but...
No, especially if it's draped. It's not for support.
Maybe something that could be done, again, from the inside. I don't know whether that would be easier, but I suppose you've got to fight your rafters in that instance and what might already be in that roof structure. But I think planning is probably quite important as well. I know it sounds silly, but just understanding the programme of the roof installation and just making sure that if you're in a situation where you know that membrane's going on, I think sometimes the membrane's put on to offer that protection, that instant protection. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take as long as the tiles to put on, but we need to put something up. So let's get the membrane on and we're okay for a bit. We've got a bit of a grace period.
Yeah.
And again, that's something that really you kind of have to consider. That's probably 9 times out of 10 absolutely fine to do that. It does
just
give you
that one time.
Yeah.
We have had that sort of like scenario where people have said we've got the membrane on, but the slates are a 6-month lead time. So, you know, like, is the membrane okay to be left exposed for that length of time? And yes, if it's nice weather, I suppose, but you've always got that danger. And then I suppose then people maybe crack on and start doing work inside the house. So if any water ingress does occur, there's the potential for more damage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, higher risk for obviously any sort of finished areas and potentially expensive installs.
Repairs.
Yeah, repairs that need
or
to be done.
Or replacement.
Remediations, yeah, of course.
I think as well, you know, there's evidence of the changing weather patterns in the UK. I mean, it's factual. There's the fact that there is more rainfall now than there has been historically. And certainly the storms we've been seeing, the wind, you know, this all affects, presumably, the products that are being used out there. And you talked about slate lead times there, Sue. I mean, why are we still building with slates, tiles and bricks?
I suppose it maybe comes down to tradition. Personally, you know, like personal choice as well. You know, like people like the look of slates. I like the look of slates personally. I would choose slate over tile. But yeah, I mean, like there's certainly other finishes that you do see coming in, like, you know, sort of like steel roofs, zinc roofs, for example. They give a more modern look. But your typical house builder, I think, will still go for the tiled look.
I think it's probably down to, or part of it could be down to what people are used to and what labours out there with regards to installing a zinc roof. It's quite a specialist install. We deem it specialist because it's probably obviously less common than a slate or a tile. There's still, people might say not enough, but there's still roofers and slaters out there that are doing that job, and that program's in place. It's difficult to break that program. And as you say, Sue, I think there's a preference to that look. you do see these zinc roofs and they do look pretty modern and, mm-hmm. And pretty clever, but some people might not like that. It's not a traditional looking property. It makes it look quite ultra modern. And
yeah, I don't know if it cost, I mean, like, I don't really know about the cost right enough, but it could be a cost thing as mm-hmm. well. Are slates and tiles cheaper than a metal roof?
I would imagine so, mm-hmm. but I'm no expert on the prices of
maybe tiles and, maybe not slates.
And obviously experience in installing as well. You'll have, like, more traditional roofers will be working with tiles mm-hmm. than zinc or steel.
And that's it. I think that's what I was trying to say. Just it's what we're used to.
Yeah. So probably, I mean, in the UK, we still build a lot of cold roofs, which lends itself to these type of, I mean, my house I built in 2018, we have a metal roof actually. And again, that's a warm roof and we live in that part of the construction, if you like. So the roof is our ceiling. Mm-hmm. But I think in the UK, we're still using, you know, a lot of the loft space in the attic for storage and not living in it. I'm seeing more of it now in the UK. But in Europe, I mean, a room in the roof thing has been, I've been around for 10, 20 years. It's just the norm now. I think they'd think we were crazy if they were to build a cold roof in Europe. It doesn't happen. But in the UK, we still seem to be, having the cold roof space.
You see steeper pitches, don't you? Especially in Northern Europe.
Yeah.
You do see sort of more steeper pitch roofs.
Yeah.
And whether that's for snowfalls.
Snow.
Get that off the roof. But that would essentially do a similar job to rainfall and get it off the roof quicker and might offer a little bit more time scale on the exposure time of the membrane. Whether that sort of thing could be considered. Obviously, it just changed the look and style of what we're used to in the UK. I think that would be quite a hard sell.
I know, we are set in our ways. Okay, so I feel like we've covered the roofing side of membranes quite a bit, which has been really helpful. If I can just touch quickly before we finish on Wally membranes and the requirements. So what about if they're in, you know, areas of exposure on a building in terms of open jointed cladding?
Okay, so for the general requirement for the water penetration for a wall and membrane is a W2. Where you have the situation where you have open joints, that does have to increase to the W1 because the W1 is a more sort of like watertight membrane.
Is UV recommended or is it a standard?
Yes, no, it has to be. If your membrane is going to be left exposed long term, then it has to undergo the long term UV aging, which is a 5,000 hour process basically.
Does that still depend on the size of the open cladding, or is that all open jointed cladding?
It's all open jointed cladding, but different manufacturers will have different recommendations as to the maximum. So like a gap joint and also the overall percentage area.
Got it.
As to, you know, so like what you can, how much of the membrane you can actually leave exposed. Okay. So there are requirements for that scenario where you're using open joints. There's also then there's new guidance under STA Advice Note 18, which is now recommending that if your building is in a highly exposed area, or exposed to heavy rain, etc., that you should upgrade to a W1 rather than a W2.
But it's still optional. It's optional. Recommendation.
It's a recommendation rather than a requirement.
And we're not seeing our customers do that yet.
No.
Because I think we've spoken to a number of them. They haven't had any problems, so they're sticking with the W2. And perhaps that's because they tend to be in timber frame and the kits get put up quite quickly and covered quite quickly, but we're not seeing it becoming a problem at the moment.
No.
Okay, that's been absolutely great, guys. Thank you very much to you, Sue, and
Thank
Will,
you.
For joining our chat today about membrane exposure based on some of the weather challenges that we're facing. I don't know about you guys, but I've really missed having an actual summer this year in Scotland. You're probably a bit luckier down South Wales.
It looks quite nice out there today, though.
I know.
It's pretty good.
I know. It's amazing. Sun's come out.
I don't think the weather's been great across the entire country, if I'm honest. We've not had a great year.
Every time I go on holiday, I think about emigrating. This is what I want. But we will get there. And I think the good thing is the quality and the integrity of the membranes that are being manufactured by most, you know, are of a good quality and able to protect the buildings that people are living in, amongst their other functions.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So thank you both, and thank you very much to our listeners. As I said earlier, we do have a whole suite of new podcasts coming out, so plug in. I hope you enjoy them, and we will hopefully see you soon. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.